Do you know what it takes to set up a business selling crickets to be ground into flour in the state of Utah? Or one that sells cat litter made from tofu in Hawaii? Yeah, me either. But someone does, and that someone is today's sponsor, Northwest Registered Agent. They can answer all your questions, from what licenses you need to turn bugs into food, or how to set up an LLC for your yarn dyeing business. Whatever weird, wonderful, slightly unhinged thing you're trying to sell, these are your people. Northwest Registered Agent has been helping small business owners and entrepreneurs launch and grow businesses for nearly 30 years. They are the largest registered agent and LLC service in the United States, with over 1,500 corporate guides, real people who know your local laws and can help you and your business every step of the way. Don't pay hundreds or thousands of dollars for what you can get from Northwest for free. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/happensfree and start using free resources to build something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/happensfree. Hey, it's Dan Bova from Entrepreneur Media, and welcome to How Success Happens. Hey, everyone. Today's guest is a universe hopper. He has lived and worked in the Star Wars universe, the Legos universe, the Batman universe, and the universe of this under-the-radar sketch comedy show that's been in the air for like 50 years or something called Saturday Night Live. In interview after interview with his co-stars and co-workers, he is consistently described as both ridiculously funny and ridiculously nice. So let's find out if that nice part is true. Welcome, Bobby Moynihan.
Shut up. Be quiet. No, I'm not that nice all the time. Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
So great to talk to you. As you may have detected, I'm a fan of a lot of the work you've done. Not all of it, Bobby, but a lot of it.
Just hearing you read that back, I want to know if there's like an EGOT for nerd stuff, like Star Wars, Star Trek, like getting, I think I might have an EGOT for nerd stuff.
Well, you have been a part of so many iconic things. Like when you do hear that list, do you still have any sense of like, holy shit, I've done some cool things?
Yeah, could you see my room? How much? I'm wildly aware. No, I think now at 48, I realized like I don't think I wanted to be famous. I think I just wanted to be part of a bunch of stuff that I loved, and I got super super lucky. And I'm glad that I was not self aware enough to realize that that's what I was doing.
Well, joke's on you, Bobby. You are famous.
I know, whether I like it or not, I'm glad. I've had a wonderful time.
So yeah, I thought it would be so great for people. I wanted to really pick your brain about building confidence and thinking on your feet with all the improv stuff you do and all the comedy stuff you do, because I think we could all use help in those departments, whether we're an aspiring improv comedian or about to walk into a pitch meeting or something like that. But first, we always start by asking, how do you define success? And how has that definition maybe changed over the years from right before you got Saturday Night Live to where you are now?
The thing is, it is at 48, I realized it has completely changed. I think for a long time, like, it was those milestones. Like I always wanted to be on SNL, and I took the time to try and make that happen and put myself in situations and places where it would get me closer to that. And then the fact that it actually happened is a minuscule number. And I am much more aware of that now. Yeah. I am much more aware of like the mathematical chances of that happening. And it happened. And I remember like telling my parents, like, that's it. I did it. I got Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And then this is a bit of a bummer, but it's the truth. But both my parents passed away like very shortly after my first daughter was born. Mm-hmm. And I have a second daughter now. And now I think it's like hilarious that like I was like, I got SNL. Like now it's like, hey, I'm happy. I'm happy. My kids are happy. Like I wish they could see this. I wish they could see the not striving Bobby. I wish they could see the Bobby that is happy and can die tomorrow and would be, well, my kids would hate it, but it's nice to go like, I'm in a place in my life where I'm really content and happy.
That's awesome. Wow, that's great. Well, you probably don't
that's
have
what anything you wanted, to That's what you wanted to hear at 9 a.m., right? That's what you wanted to hear.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. It is it's noon here in New York. And actually,
I love it.
I'm you know, not too far from where you grew up.
Oh, near in Westchester?
Yeah, I'm my kids went to Mamaroneck High School.
Amazing. That's amazing. I think I played hockey against Mamaroneck. I learned how to skate at Hummocks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
There is a plaque there for you.
Amazing. I'm going to buy the school tomorrow.
Yes. So you just described how you set your, you know, you put yourself on a path to achieve this dream, maybe unaware of how crazy the odds were of achieving it. But I love that because, you know, I think a lot of people look at the odds sometimes first and then go like, oh, there's no way. I'll just do something else.
If someone said the sentence to me recently, which is there's only been like 150 something cast. I'm pretending like I don't know the exact number, like 150 cast members of SNL in total. And like that broke my brain a little bit, because if someone had said that to me as a kid, I would have been like, oh, this is stupid. That's like wanting to be an astronaut. Like, you know, like it's like, but I think now what I realize is like, I just did what I loved. I just did what I loved, and my parents were kind enough to allow me to do that. And then I met a bunch of people who also loved the same things, and they made me better. And now we're all working.
That's so great. Did you at all have in the back of your head like, okay, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to do this? Or was it just full on, this is it?
I don't think my father owned a liquor store, and I wasn't like, well, that someday I'll take that over. Like that was never the case. Like from a very early age, I was like, no, thanks, pops. But I was a bartender at a Pizzeria Uno. And if I had to go back to a Pizzeria Uno and bartend right now, I think I'd be fine. Or actually, I always say this, but like, I'm not kidding. I would just go work in a hotel and clean rooms. I find cleaning very calming. I think I could just go back and clean. Yeah, I would be fine with it.
Well, if you want to come over to my house and clear your mind anytime, you're welcome.
You got it. Anytime. It looks very clean. It looks very tidy. You know,
if this camera was turned around, it tells a very different story.
Same.
So I'm curious about so many things, but you know, there's the improv part of your career, and obviously like the sketch and the you know, acting. I don't know what you, written acting, whatever. What's the word for that?
Scripted.
Thank you. How do you? So you've got this show, the Clean Plate Club.
Yeah.
Which the next show, I believe, is at the Dynasty Typewriter on August 12th.
Yes.
Where can people buy tickets for that? Let's just get that out of the way.
At dynastytypewriter.com. You can get tickets for the show. You can also buy tickets for the live stream. And you can also buy exclusive tickets for what we call the Splash Zone, which is the first two rows, because it's a show. It's called Clean Plate Club. It's a fully improvised comedy show/cooking show. culinary host Chris Ying is on stage, and instead of getting a suggestion or like doing it from a monologue or improv, what we do is Chris prepares us like a themed meal for the evening of four courses, and kind of explains why he did this, and we don't know ahead of time, and we base all of our scenes off of the stuff that Chris says and his meals and stuff like that. And if you buy tickets for the Splash Zone, you get fed as well. You get to try the food that Chris is cooking as well.
I love that. That was such a great idea.
I love comedy and I love eating, so I just tried to mix the two. That's it. I just use all my work to get free stuff. As you can see from my yes. room, from the room I'm in. Yeah.
For those just listening to this, there's a toy store behind.
literally, I've never thrown anything away in my life.
That's so great. So my question is about preparation. So how do you, there's no lines to memorize. Do you just walk on stage and whatever happens, happens? Like, how do you prepare for improv and get your head in the right spot?
Well, not to get too nerdy, but like, yeah,
extremely.
Yeah. I spent many years at Upright Citizens Brigade learning how to do it. There's a structure to it. I mean, like, that's why people take improv classes. There's ways to get better at it. And I have since forgotten most of it, but 20 something years of, 20, almost 25 years of doing improv. And teaching improv a little bit, which I shouldn't have been doing. I only taught level one because I was like, great job to everybody.
Super helpful.
Yeah, I did it for the fun. There are a lot of people who are like better at the specifics of improv. Like there's a lot of rules, like not, you know, yes and not saying, you know, like and listening, which I have a problem with ever since I had kids. I realized like scenes are going on and 10 minutes in, I'm like, I have no idea what's happening, but I'll figure it out. it's just doing it with performing with people who are amazing at it as well, and then keeping doing it. And then, yeah, somebody says, you know, usually we only get a one word suggestion, but this Clean Play Club show, like for instance, Chris, the first show we did talked about nachos and where like the origins of nachos came yes. from, and a man named Ignacio who you know, and like I think we ended up doing scenes about Arnold Palmer and why he thought he was smart enough or cool enough to name a drink after.
Yeah,
it just kind of makes you think of things, and yeah,
that's great. But so to get a little geeky on that. You know, let's say it's 10 minutes before the show. Like, are you like mentally preparing? Do you have a routine or anything, or you're so comfortable now that it's not a big thing?
That's really funny. I'll be 1,000,000,000% honest. 10 minutes before the show, I'm usually finding a parking space because I'm late. No, I think I think 9 years of SNL knocked the fear out of me for improv. Yeah. Like it's like, no, I often get on stage in front of people now and go like, okay, now I'm ready.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's a different time.
So I'd love to. So you just mentioned the SNL knocking the fear out of you. Cause you know, when people, the big 50th anniversary came, there was so much, you know, talk about it and lots of interviews with people, and everyone always describes being on the show like, you know, you're shot out of a cannon. It's, you know, it's crazy. But I wonder, like, can you get a little more specific? Like, you're about to roll out as drunk uncle. Like, what are those like minutes before that like?
For the 50th, it was wildly different than it ever has been. Mm-hmm. I said to Chris, the stage man, the last time, not the 50th, but the last time I came back to do Drunk Uncle and David Pumpkins for like an episode, just like a cameo thing.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I had been back since I left. It had been a couple years. And I said this to Chris Kelly, the stage manager, who always wheels me out, you know, at Update. And like, if I'm being honest with myself, I think update was where I scored the most. Like, I felt most comfortable on that update desk. And I said to Chris, I looked him in the face and I was just like, and I meant it. I was like, this is SNL for me, is this moment. Is you trying to make me laugh and us doing stupid jokes 5 seconds before you wheel me out in front of millions of people.
Right.
And that's it. It's being with people who have been there and love SNL, and everybody who works there is at the top of their game, and you feel safe and you feel wonderful. And that moment, that those moments are my favorite. And that's what I remember about SNL, is those.
Yeah.
Like Chris Kelly going like, hey, your fly's open, and it's not. Yeah. And or like, you know, like something's doing something stupid to make me, you know, just feel more at ease.
Yeah.
But the 50th was wildly different.
Okay.
It was, I think I had just been thinking about it so long and I didn't know if I would be a part of it. And I kind of had that ego death of like, guess I'm not going to be in it. I get, but like, then had the thought of like, but I finally get to go watch SNL for the first time. Like, I was like almost excited that I got to sit in the audience and just enjoy. And then I just got a text that was like, hey, did you get your script? And I was like, oh man. And then all of a sudden you find out you're in it, and you know, 24 hours later, you're at a different hotel than you booked, and you're in the SNL machine, and it's churning you out already. And to be honest, I was terrified. And then I got really happy and I got really content, and I rolled, I sat next to Chris and I was like, here I am. This is the place I am most comfortable. I'm in the drunk uncle costume again. I can't believe that I'm this lucky that I get to do it for the 50th. And then I looked at Chris and I smiled and he smiled back at me. And I was like, there, here I am, back to normal. And before the L in normal, I looked out to the audience and I was like, wow, they're a lot closer than usual. You know, because there's a lot more seats. And also, these aren't strangers who fans who waited days to get in. That's Oprah and that's Letterman and that's Conan. There's Jerry Seinfeld. There's every single legend, and they're 4 feet away from me. And Nicholson is staring me in the face, and so is Cher. And they were right there, and that, and like, it hit me like a ton of bricks in that moment. Like,
wow,
I got like a weird adrenaline rush, and I got way too excited, and I ripped Colin's jacket in half. But it helped. It helped me more than I thought it did.
Oh, that's awesome. So is there like, I mean, just to parse that out for, Maybe someone's not stepping into a room that, you know, David Letterman and Steven Spielberg and Oprah are sitting in.
Yeah.
But, you know, stepping into a room to pitch your business or to, you know, pitch yourself as a consultant or something. And you get that adrenaline rush. Is there any, like, how do you use that adrenaline for good, which you did?
I'm 99% sure she didn't make up this quote. I don't think this was a quote she made up, but I heard Carrie Fisher say it.
Okay.
Which is, it's okay. Like, sorry. I don't want to screw it up. Just do it scared.
Okay.
Just do it scared. That's bravery. Bravery is just doing it. I know you're scared, but you do it anyway. That is like the only way I can explain it. Like it's like, that's what SNL, you know, Lorne would always say, you know, we don't go on at 11:30 because we're ready. We go on because it's 11:30.
Right. That's awesome.
And,
Yeah, no, that's such great advice. You're whether you're scared or not, you were always great. The drunk uncle, love it.
Thank you.
So you jumping, you've done so many different things.
Just want to say recently, like a year or two ago, I was on a Star Wars cartoon and they asked me if I wanted to do the voice of a stormtrooper. And I've never been more terrified in my life. Like, I full on full panic. like worse than my both my children's births. I was, because I was just like, you, but they, it has to, it, they sound like a certain way, like yeah, it's funny what you get nervous over.
that is hilarious, but it went well.
It went fine. I'm not the best stormtrooper.
I do want to ask you about this children's book you wrote, Not All Sheep Are Boring, which is very funny and adorable. But I got to tell you, I looked at it and I have an issue with it, because I know you. We just met, but I feel like your description of Dan the sheep took a shot directly at me. And I've got that line up here. Dan keeps bees. Oh, maybe. Do you have it within reach?
I think I do. Weirdly enough. Maybe it'd be
better if you read it.
I,
to my face.
I do have it right here. It says, can you hear the pages turning?
We can.
Hello. It says, guess what? Dan keeps bees. Is that boring? I added 3 whole exclamation points to make it sound more fun. Too much? Bees are awesome, right? Wait a minute. Maybe it's Dan who's boring. I blame Dan.
You son of a bitch. Yeah.
All sheep are boring. All of them. That's why people count them to fall asleep. No, Dan was my college roommate. That was, and he literally keeps bees.
Oh, really?
I was making fun of him.
That's awesome. So what was the decision to do this book? Was it like just an idea that came to you and you're like, I got to do this? Or did you want to write a book and thought about different ideas?
Pandemic came around and there wasn't a lot of work. And I started writing a lot more. And someone said, did you ever think about writing a children's book? And I was like, no, never. And then I was talking with my daughter before she went to bed, and she said something about why do people count sheep to fall asleep? And I started thinking about it, and I was like, I just thought it was funny. I was like, I guess they're really boring. Like, why is that? And then I thought it was funny to just mock sheep and say that they're all boring.
That's so great. And does she get a cut? You know,
co-writer? She's my agent. She's my
agent. Yeah. Okay.
20% off the top immediately.
That's excellent. And you're also in this it's not a book, an audio comedy, Stanland. And mm-hmm. I bring this up because it's co-written by Mike Sachs, who's been on this show before, and I've known him for a long time.
Amazing. Yeah.
And so I asked him when I knew you were coming on, is there anything, you know, I should mention to Bobby? And he said a lot of things. But some of them I will not say.
Understandable.
But he said during the recording, you guys kept getting interrupted by helicopters.
Yeah.
And he said that you and Rhea were
I'm,
like.
I'm currently on the run from the law.
He said that it kept like throwing everything off, but you guys were able to just like snap back into it as soon as the helicopter left, and then, you know, weren't thrown by it. Is that another SNL thing you learned?
Yeah, no, that's not. No, that's UCB at 10-20 years ago at 2 o'clock in the morning doing shows for people and literally getting ice cream someone threw ice cream at us one night. A pint of ice cream landed on stage. No, yes, it's that. It's 25 years of being an adult child. You can get through a helicopter is nothing.
was the ice cream welcomed or
we were doing a scene that took place in an ice cream shop, and someone who I'm guessing had, I don't know, old groceries with them, had a pint of Haagen-Dazs ice cream and threw it on stage. But when it hit the stage, it opened and splattered everywhere, and it was silent. And then the person very sheepishly was like, you were talking about ice cream.
That's
I was so like, funny. We're good. We don't need your help. Thank you.
Well, Mike also said you were a dream to have him on board. If it sounds like I'm gushing, I am. It's not bullshit. Love the guy.
Oh, that's the best. He's great.
Talk
to him over some sort of social media platform recently.
So let's talk a little bit about Star Wars. Jedi Bob is returning. Yeah. LEGO Star Wars, Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past. which is coming out on Disney Plus September 19th. So
yes.
What, you know, you dreamed of being on Saturday Night Live and you got that. I think every kid in the world has dreamed of being in the Star Wars universe and you got that.
Yeah, this
look
is,
at that. Oh, he's holding up his toy. Oh my goodness.
This is my one of my favorite things in the world that I own is this Lego Star Wars set with Jedi Bob in it. I can't believe it's real. Yeah, yeah, it's the coolest. I love it. It's like my favorite thing in the world.
So when you step on a Lego yourself in bare feet, does it hurt as much or
no, it feels like an accomplishment.
So what was it like I know you I read that you know went to Lucasfilm, like what was, I guess many times at this point maybe, but
yeah,
what was that like the first time you like go to Lucasfilm?
It's crazy. The Star Wars Resistance was my first Star Wars job, and I remember like it's the one and only time I ever called my agents, and I was like, "Hey, I'm super into this cartoon. It was Clone Wars." I was like, "This guy Dave Filoni really has something going here, and I would really love to be a part of it. Can you find out if there's any auditions coming out? Just keep your eye out, kind of, for Clone Wars." And I think like within 2 days, I got a letter from Dave Filoni who was like, "Heard you want to be involved." They gave me an audition for a character that I was completely not right for, and I knew it, but I did it anyway. And he immediately was like, "Not right for this one, but we'll keep you in mind in the future. Like, glad you're a fan." And then like a year or whatever later, I just got this audition for something else. It had nothing to do with Star Wars. It was all fake names. And I was like, "This is Star Wars." I saw right through it. And then it turns out it was for Star Wars Resistance, and I auditioned for it and I got hired, and I felt like I earned it instead of asked for it. So it felt super cool, and it was the best. And now I've been in a couple and maybe more things coming out, but
wow.
Yeah. It's what I wanted to do. I love that world. I love playing in that world. And the people who make it, much like SNL, are all at the top of their game. And they love it, too.
Have you met George?
I met him once at the SNL 40th, at the 40th anniversary of SNL. And it was maybe one of the most embarrassing moments of my life.
Oh, really?
we're all like, there was a, it's overwhelming. Like, it's at the 40th anniversary and everyone you've ever loved is in a room, and we had to sign, we had to like go down a line signing these SNL books. And next to me on one side, on my left, was Gilbert Gottfried, and he's signing, and I'm just hearing his voice. And I remember thinking like, "Oh my gosh, that's Gilbert." Like, I'm standing next to Gilbert Gottfried, who was an SNL cast member. And I was just right. Like, "Oh my gosh." And I kind of just looked to my right to be like, "That's Gilbert Gottfried." And it was next to me is George Lucas. And I looked and I went, I turned into a 15-year-old or a child. I took out my phone. I didn't say a word. I just took out my phone. And like a child, like a lost child, I said, "Hi, my name is Bobby Moynihan, and I'm on Saturday Night Live. Can I have a picture with you?" And he looked at me like "You're an adult." You could see the picture on my Instagram. He very sheepishly leaned in. I'm smiling. He is mildly annoyed. Never saw him again.
That is unbelievable. You introduce yourself.
I did. I don't think I've ever said the sentence, "My name is Bobby Moynihan and I'm on Saturday Night Live," to another human besides George Lucas.
On the set of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, while we were there. I was signing a book with my picture in it. And
that's amazing. Oh my God. I love that. And I'm a bit of a Batman nerd, and mm-hmm. I love the audio adventures.
Oh yeah.
And you were Oswald Cobblepot, and it made me wonder, Did you call Colin Farrell to give him some pointers on the character?
He's here. He's here right now. We're good buddies. So I didn't even have to call him. Dennis McNicholas, one of the head writers at SNL, is a gigantic Batman fan. He knows everything about it. And he wrote a thing called the Batman Audio Adventures and cast mostly. If you're an SNL fan, it's just all SNL people.
Yes.
Kenan is Commissioner Gordon. It's like Melissa Villaseñor is Robin. Jeffrey Wright is Batman. It's absolutely insane. And also, it's my best work I've ever done. I'll say that. I have never been more locked in than.
Oh, that's awesome.
I wanted to play the Penguin my whole life. That was the best. Also, I have a podcast called Who Me with the Batman, where I play Batman and I interview people if you're a fan.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I was going to mention also, if anyone wants to hear Bobby's improv work in it, all its glory. Besides that show, there's a show called Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah.
And this week, actually, they're re-releasing all these old episodes of you playing Forville, which is a play on Fiveville, and you play a very disturbing character. This adorable little boy who likes to stab people to death.
Yeah, well, he's just street smart. He doesn't like it. He's just got to.
Yeah. I gotta say, I was listening to it when you make that first like turn. It was like that movie with Ed Norton where all of a sudden you find out he's the killer. It was like, whoa!
You might say, so did I. Yes. I had no idea that's where we were going. But that's what I mean. Like that is improv. That I had nothing. I had a name. I thought Fiveville. Like I wanted to play like a little orphan kid named and Fiveville made me laugh. So I just called him Forville.
Yeah.
And then playing with Paul F. Tompkins and Scott, who are absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's what it turned into it turned into that. And now they're 20 years later, or however many years it is, we're talking about it on a podcast and there's an action figure of Forville coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. They have Comedy Bang Bang action figures now.
That is so awesome. What's so cool about all this stuff, you know, is it's such a combination of you, you know, striving for something and really like putting the work into getting it. And then also just with the improv stuff, just being able to like recognize opportunities as they're like within seconds and sort of jumping on them. I think that's such a cool duality that you've got going on.
It has helped. Improv kind of taught me, for better or for worse, how to deal with the life that I've chosen. I'm sometimes too quick, and my mouth is faster than my brain. And sometimes I improvise when I shouldn't be. but otherwise, it's helped me greatly in those stressful situations of just like, yeah, you just got to do it.
That's awesome. We're going to move into the speed round now, Bobby.
I was going to say, when's the speed round?
I know. But first, I want to get your ruling on something as a parent. Do you have any pets by any chance?
No, never had. Okay. Well, I had a my sister went to college and my mom got me a parakeet. Like, so thinking that would be a good thing, but it died. Pretty quickly.
Hopefully you had no part in its death, but
I think there was a lot of smokers in our household. I don't think the bird liked that. Well, a different time.
You're clearly like a toy guy, so I don't have many toys, but I have these Batman dolls from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I've got so there's Robin.
Oh, Mego, nice.
And I've got the Joker.
Amazing. Very nice.
And now I've got Batman. But Batman, my dog was interested in Batman. And so so here's Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always the most expensive one.
So I'm wondering, what do you think is a fitting punishment for my dog?
Oh, he's just a dog. He saved you from a little tiny intruder. He didn't know. let the dog have it. Buy yourself another one. Life goes on.
All right.
That's why you got to be like me. You got to get one and keep one in the box and then one extra just in case.
Got it. Yeah. All right. We've waited long enough. Let's get into the speed round.
Got it.
Ding, ding. Okay. So what is one habit that you are happy to have and one you wish you could ditch?
I like to clean too much, but I like it. I like it tidy. I like, I think it's from working at Pizzeria Uno, like opening and closing a restaurant, like taught me for some reason like that. I like to wake up to a ready and open restaurant, if that makes sense. And then I would also say that that is also my problem.
Do you find yourself cleaning Pizzeria Uno's even when you don't work there?
I wouldn't mind. That's the problem I have.
The problem. Like, okay. So what's something that most people love but you secretly hate?
The Dave Matthews Band. I respect him as a man and his music. He's wildly talented. But all I remember from college is that dun, 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 and I
love it. You may have just answered this with the cleaning, but what's your favorite way to turn off your brain?
I mean, you're looking at it. I think, I mean, like playing with my kids, that right now is like the funnest, but like, I also like collecting stuff. I like finding odd things that I like or searching for them. It's funny. I don't have any free time anymore, and that's I'm fine with it because it keeps me busy. But
yeah,
I was going to say, like, unfortunately, now it's like TikTok.
Right. Well, yeah. If you're in the market, you collect things. If you're in the market for a chewed up Batman doll, I know a guy will get you a good price.
I'll take it.
All right, this is a tough one. GOAT SNL cast member. You could pick anyone. It could even be you.
Maya Rudolph for me.
Maya Rudolph. Nice. Good pick.
Maya Rudolph and Phil Hartman. I feel like they're the two people that could. And Kristen. And Kate McKinnon and Bill. And
yeah. That's GOATs.
Exactly. It's impossible. Like, it's like Maya Rudolph is my personal favorite. The one who makes me, anything she does, I love. I just, like, she is my wheelhouse of comedy.
Yeah.
But then I think of Tina and I think of Amy and Fred and you just go like, oh, everyone is absolutely insane in their own way and a legend.
That's awesome. All right. Finally, who's more intimidating, Darth Vader or Lorne Michaels?
Darth Vader, he's much taller. I could take Lorne in a fight. I know that. I know I could beat up Lorne Michaels. I just don't want to.
Awesome. Well, Bobby, so great talking to you. Thanks for all of the laughs over the years. Drunk Uncle again, but all the other stuff. And definitely, I've seen clips of the Clean Plate Club, and I'm definitely going to be checking that out.
Yeah,
what's the best way for people to, like, keep up with all that is Bobby Moynihan?
I mean, I'm on all kinds of social. I did it on purpose. I'm at Bibby Moynihan on everything. I spelled it B-I-B-B-Y because I thought it was funny. no one can find me, and I'm fine with that. I don't know, Google it or something. Bing it. Do whatever you got to do.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
But you can go to dynastytypewriter.com to get tickets for the show and cbbworld.com to get the podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent, man. Thanks so much. Great
talking to you.
Thank you
for having me. Thank you for reminding me of the stuff that I have done.
Yes. You've done a lot. You should go lay down.
I'm going to take a nap. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, what's the biggest hurdle that you feel like is getting in the way of your success? Let me know at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com.